I've been talking a lot about this world's distractions and all that that we deal with, and it's true that the biggest battle we fight as disciples, as believers in Jesus, is not persecution in our country as much as it is distraction. Distraction, distracted Christians, it's one thing that the devil has used, and he's done a really good job of keeping God's people distracted. This world's full of sincere people, busy people, active people, and yet spiritually thin, drained, wore out. There's some context in the last day scriptures that it said it'll be perilous time. It talks about how the saints will be exhausted, wore out. I think about that scripture. Brother Keeley and I talked about that. And there's many times I feel that way. In this world today, it just seems like you're just wore out. You're just distracted because of all the things that you see that you know is not right. Right? You see these things all the time, and it also is a distraction. You know, we follow Jesus, but we're pulled in thousands of directions at one time. You ever feel that way? We see divided hearts leading to a diluted devotion too. Because a lot of people live in the world and yet try to live in the church, and they're struggling between, there's a battle between both. It's constant. Physically, we're here in this world. Physically, here we feed our families. Physically, here, spiritually, sometimes we're divided. That's what he says, you know, don't be divided spiritually, right? Because you can't. It's a battle. You'll be miserable. Not only that, you'll be distracted because you can't focus all your time. You can't focus your time. We live in a time of constant noise, too. It's always something going on. Always. We have notifications on our phone that never stop, it seems like. Yesterday, I counted on my phone. It just pops up and tells me, but I think I had 57 emails yesterday alone. I try to delete all those things that are unnecessary. But I get emails from different people and from the district and friends, and then there's Facebook pops, you know. Then you get notifications. I turned off my notifications because I don't want to get all those notifications, because what happens when you get a notification? Whatever you is working on, when a notification comes up, you blink, you hear this little blink, blink or whatever noise you got, and you got to look at it. You don't have a choice. You're compelled to stop what you're doing and look at that email or look at that Facebook pop, right? Then we got the news cycles, the news, it never stops. I try to limit my news watching anymore. I want to watch the weather. I want to watch the weather, put my blinders on, watch the weather, and as soon as the weather's off, I got to turn it off. You know, amen? Because what happens, it gets you drawn in, and then next thing you know, it's talking about all this division and hatred, and I mean, it's just messed up, you know? All the opinions. It's like we got a suntan. Some of us have a screen tan from our devices, you know. You see families walk into a restaurant. They don't even look at each other. They sit down in the booth. They're not even looking at each other. Right? They eat. They order. They put it down enough to order. And then it's right back. You see people walking down the street. You see people driving cars. I mean, you see people walking down the street like this with their phone in their hand. You see people driving cars with their phone in their hand, which is illegal, by the way. And so it should be. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of things that I will argue about. Freedoms of our freedom, you know, but distracted driving is one of those things right there that, man, I honestly, this is honest truth. I was following a car to Carbondale one time, and there's this lady, she had passed me. She was in front of me, swerving around a little bit. And we got up to a stoplight finally in Carbondale. She was eating breakfast, putting makeup on, combing her hair and talking on the phone all at the same time. I'm not kidding you. I don't know how it's possible. No, that's pretty distracted. But I don't know. I'll get off of that. I just see it all the time. People are just so distracted by everything. And not necessarily bad things, but just distracted. And yet, we have a lot of people, their souls are starving for peace, right? And it's like tyranny of too many things. It's like a blatant overreach of the body, soul, and spirit. You ever think of it like that? Tyranny of the spirit. And I look at Psalms chapter 27. It really kind of speaks into our fractured world, because you know we live in a fractured world, don't we? We live in a world full of distracted, fractured people too. And it's not about many things in this scripture. It's about the one thing that I want to talk about this morning. It's written by David. You know, he was a warrior king, and he was surrounded by enemies and chaos and responsibilities, and his life's single desire is what he says here. You know, this was not written from a monastery, but from a battlefield. You think about this. And I think this really matters for us this morning, because this is what it says. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Amen. Is that your goal? Is that your one thing this morning? When you came here this morning, did you have one thing on your mind? Probably not. If you're like me, I had about 15,000 things on my mind, but I was getting here, right? But this scripture says that David had one thing I ask of you, Lord, one thing. David, likely he's writing this during that season of intense threat on his life, and it's possible that it was even written during Saul's pursuit of him, when Saul was out to kill him and he was running from Saul and hiding. And the Psalms here, it moves between confidence and a cry. It's bold faith and honest fear. And I think that comforts me. I hope it does you. Because mature faith still wrestles. We still have those moments in our life where, like, God? I need you. But there's one thing I need the most, right? Right? David's not asking for safety. He's not asking for success or victory. He asks for the presence of God. Amen. The heart of this is the center of gravity. The center of who David was. Theologically, Psalms 27 reveals this truth that God Himself is the reward of our faith. Amen? It's all about God. It's not about the blessings. We all like the blessings. It's not about the breakthroughs, because we like those too. It's not about the platforms. God is our reward. He is our reward for our faith. He is who we will stand in the presence of when we get to heaven. Heaven is designed not around anything else but God. Amen? He sits on the throne. They stand around Him in heaven, the angels do, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, God Almighty." Right? Not sometimes, but all the time. There's a priority to this one thing, and that one thing I ask the Lord, He says here, the thing I seek the most. That one thing there in the Hebrew language, it means it's a singular thing. It means one thing. United, undivided thing. David's not multitasking spiritually. How about you? This is focused on that one thing. He said, I ask this. That's his speaking of humble dependence upon God. And he says, I seek. It means to pursue earnestly, right? Relentlessly. How about you? This is not a casual prayer. How's your prayer life? Is it casual? Is it persistent? This is a consuming pursuit. Amen? The closer you get to God, the closer you get to Christ, the more it consumes you. Amen? It changes who you are. You're consumed by who God is and you're trying to figure it out. Paul did that all of his ministry. To the end of his life and to the last part of his ministry, he says, not that I've attained it all, but I'm still in pursuit of it. Right? He talks about, I have to finish the race. I'm still pressing on. I'm moving forward and I've got to keep going because I want to win the prize. Amen. You know, we often add Jesus to our lives instead of ordering our lives around Jesus. We do that, don't we? You know, as disciples, it's not Jesus plus everything else, right? It's Jesus first. Jesus central. Jesus supreme of our lives. He's the Lord of our lives. He has to be. He has to be the King of your heart. Amen? I think of a compass. We all have many interests. We have many responsibilities, many relationships, but only one true north. Amen? When you think about a compass, it only has one true north. Our one true north has to be God Himself. Amen? All of our lives are going to look a little bit different. We're going to have different workplaces. We're going to have different things that goes on in our life. But our one true north always has to be, I'm headed towards God. Every focus of my heart, everything that I do has to be focused in the direction of God. Does this lead me to God or does it lead me away from God? You can answer that. When we lose that, though, when we lose that true north, everything else becomes disoriented. And you get lost. Think about that. You wander around in the woods forever. There's some places here in America where, even still today, you can wander around a long time and not be found. But if you know where true north is, if you know which direction to go, right? Eventually, it may be hard getting there because let me tell you, I've hiked in some pretty rough areas and it wasn't easy and there was times I was like, I want to give up. You just keep going. And finally, you get there. Hey, man, life's like that, isn't it? Sometimes we climb some pretty steep mountains. Sometimes we drop down in some pretty deep valleys. But when we keep our compass facing north, our true north, we just keep heading in that direction. I've heard it said that God's most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And that's not necessarily poetic sentiment either. It's discipleship reality. It's who we are. It's what disciples become in the image of Christ. God-centered. Amen? When God becomes our deepest satisfaction, obedience stops feeling like duty and starts becoming delight. Amen? Amen. Do you like being a disciple of Christ? Do you enjoy God's presence? Do you enjoy reading the Scripture? Man, there's just so much of God. The passion to dwell with God. Have you got that passion this morning? I want to see Him face to face, don't you? Man, I want to see God. You know that there in that verse where it says, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Now, he wasn't talking about heaven then. He's talking about this present day. Or his present time. Right? Is that your desire? Do you want God to live with you? Do you want to be in His presence? David couldn't literally live in the tabernacle, right? Only the priest could serve there. It was appointed that way. It's not about our geography, though. It's about our relationship. And in the house of the Lord, it really symbolizes God's presence among His people. Come on. That word live in the Hebrew really truly means to dwell, to remain, to abide, to settle down. And David's not visiting God occasionally. You hear me? He wants a lived-in relationship. Does that make sense? He wants to live with God, and he wants God to live with him. He wants this relationship with God. Psalms 84, 1 and 2 says, how lovely is your dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns. Think of this. My soul yearns, even faints. Think of the poetry in this. For the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Man, my heart yearns. It yearns so much it faints. I long so much to live in the presence of God Almighty. This is understanding God's presence is life itself, right? In this world today, we have to resist a Sunday-only Christianity. So many times it's only about what we get here on Sunday morning. And let me tell you, that's not good enough. It's about what God wants and desires and what we should desire every day of our life. And really every moment of our life. And that's what it really means to live in the presence of God. God doesn't want visiting hours, okay? He doesn't want visiting hours on Sunday morning from 9:20 to 10:20. He doesn't want visiting hours from 10:35 to whenever the pastor finally shuts up. Right? He wants abiding hearts, longing, trusting, desiring to the point to where He is all we want because He's all we need. But the truth is, there's no shortcuts and there's no substitute. There's no spiritual hack, right? You know, many will come and try to go around the gate. They'll try to get in a different way to heaven. But let me tell you, there's no other way. The purpose of beholding His beauty is this: delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. That delighting and beholding, it means to gaze or to look attentively, to perceive with understanding. And we know what the word beauty means, right? It's pleasantness, sweetness, and graciousness. So guys, if you're looking for a wife, and you think she's beautiful, maybe she is physically, but look at this definition. Is she pleasant? Is she sweet? Is she gracious? I'd ask you ladies the same thing, young ladies, if there's not very many of them here. You think about that. It goes both directions, right? You know, David is captivated by who God is and not just what God does. Think of this. We love a good healing. We love a good blessing. We love those things, but it's not just about what God does. It's about who He is. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: and we who with unveiled faces are all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. There's a theological truth to this. You become what you behold. Amen? We become what we behold. We start looking into Jesus, and guess what? We start looking like Jesus. Amen? This world is discipled through us. Hear me. This world is discipled through us. And this world needs to see Jesus in us. We need to reflect the image of God to people. And the only way you're ever going to do that, the only way we're capable of doing that, is if we behold Jesus ourselves. If we're looking at Jesus and we're following Jesus and our desire is Jesus, guess what? Jesus is going to reflect from us. This world needs constant exposure to Jesus right now, for sure. And how are we doing about that? How are we doing? Let me tell you, it's not easy right now because there's a lot of bold atheists out there. There's lots of bold Christ haters. People that just don't believe it. We used to be a fully Christian nation. I mean, I say fully, but usually about 65% Christian nation, which generally, you know, controlled most everything in the way our nation ran its business. But we're not like that anymore. Matter of fact, we're probably a 45% Christian nation and a 55% non-Christian nation. And I don't mean all atheists. I mean people who don't believe the way we do. Some really good people. They just don't believe or buy it, right? Scripture disciples us through holy contemplation. It makes us think, right? You know what? A child, these little babies will start sounding like their parents before long. Yeah, we're in trouble. Not through instruction, mostly by imitation. They'll start acting like Trey. We got our work cut out for us, don't we, church? Yeah. But you know that's true. Isn't it? Isn't it true? When every other support collapses, the beauty of Christ is revealed not as a theory, but as a treasure. And I've heard it said, you don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I've quoted that before. So we become like Christ by lingering in His presence. And through that, the fulfillment of this desire in Jesus Christ happens. And David had this longing for God's presence, but we have something greater. In John 1:14, he says, "So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness." This word "made His home" literally means tabernacle. Did you know that? Jesus is the true temple, the dwelling place of God with humanity. And that John 14:6 says this, "I am the way, the true, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Hear me? So here's the heart of the gospel. We were created to dwell with God. Hear me? But sin separated us. Our hearts became divided and distracted and rebellious. Jesus is the only one who lived the perfect, focused life we never could. Hear me? And His heart was never divided. His obedience was never wavered. He went to the cross, bearing our sins. He was buried, sealing the reality of death. And He rose again, conquering sin in the grave. That's the reality. And now, we have the opportunity through repentance and faith that we are invited to dwell with God forever. Amen?
Amen.
That's the invitation. And not through religion, not through effort, but through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
Max Licato, I don't know, I've read some of his stuff, and he's got some really good stuff out there. He says this, "The cross is proof that God would rather go through hell for you than to live in heaven without you." Man, isn't that awesome? Think about that. He's the substitution. Christ died so we could dwell. And we're challenged to become a focused disciple. And that's my challenge to you today. Are you a focused disciple? What is that one thing in your life? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Or is it 15,000 other things that keep you all distracted from dwelling with God? And it doesn't have to be 15,000, because guess what? It could be one. There could be that one thing that keeps you out of that relationship with Jesus. It could be that one thing that may actually keep you from entering the promised land like Moses. Think about that. The one thing. He could see the promised land, but he wasn't allowed to go in. Wow. He was faithful to God. He listened to God. We're challenged to become a focused disciple. And so ask yourself honestly this morning, what competes for my affection? What shapes your thinking more than Scripture? Is it Facebook? Well, it shapes a lot of, you know, social media is really shaping a lot of characters out there in this world. They're filled with hate, filled with divided hearts. It's hard to understand how a person doesn't know who they are, isn't it? So what shapes your thinking more than Scripture? What would need to change for this Psalm 27:4 to be true to you? The one thing I desire the most is God. The one thing I desire the most is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all I need. That's all I want. So I would challenge you to reclaim your daily time of prayer. Not rushed, not distracted, not just thing you got to mark off the list, but something that you desire to do. I can't wait to get home and to get into my prayer closet and pray. Fast from your cell phones. Fast from Facebook. Fast from TikTok, whatever it is that's keeping you distracted. Shut it off for at least an hour or so every day. Recenter your life around worship. And the word and prayer. How's your worship life? Main thing is to choose presence over productivity. Wouldn't you rather spend a little time with God than to finish that one thing that you know you're not going to get done anyway? Because our souls were made for God. And today, Jesus is inviting you and me, and I put me in that too, because He's inviting me to a deeper walk with Him every day too. It never ends. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. Amen? Spiritual rest, man. Our spirits sometimes are just longing for peace. And Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you that rest. Amen. You ever get in the presence of God when you're praying and you just forget about everything else? Nothing else matters. And man, when you leave that moment and you're like, wow, I want more of that. Right? David was a man after God's own heart. Don't think he was perfect. We know that. You read the stories, he wasn't perfect. But his desire was for that one thing, and it was God. And I'd hope as a church that people in this community know us for doing maybe many things. But I would hope that the one thing that they would know the most is that we desire God. Amen? Amen. That we are a people that love God and we desire God's presence in our life. That's what holiness is all about. Living in the presence of God all the time. And I hope that we're known for that. I hope that I'm known for that. And may our lives whisper what David shouted here. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Amen. So I leave you this morning before we take communion. Now, don't get up and run off. I pray that the Lord draw us and draw your heart to Himself. And I pray that Christ becomes your supreme delight. And I pray that the Holy Spirit guards you from distraction. And I pray that you dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Because that one thing that I desire, I hope that you desire too. As David did. And may it become a defining desire of our lives. May people know you for that desire that you have for God. The greatest compliment is for somebody to say, that person's a woman of God. That person's a man of God. Because they see it in your life as a reflection of the image of Christ Himself. Ponder on that this morning before we take communion. Paul said a man or a woman should check themselves, really. Should look deep into their hearts. And if there be anything that they need to ask forgiveness for, or if there be anything that they need to give forgiveness to, anyone they need to give forgiveness to, if there's anything holding you back from your relationship with Christ, you need to make it right now. Because it's important that we live a life of repentance and forgiveness. He calls it unworthy. If you come to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, that means there's unforgiven sin, unrepentant sin, not forgiving your brother maybe for something that they did, or your sister. When you come to me in a serious manner, because communion's not just drinking some juice and eating a cracker and saying a few words. It's literally remembering what Christ did in a way that you're sincere in a man. I thank you, Lord, for giving your life so that I could live in the presence of God Almighty for eternity.